Today on Real Life Radio.
Are you struggling with temptation and sin? Are you tripping up and finding yourself failing on a constant basis? Like, man, I just keep failing. Listen, are you unable to resist sin? You feel so weak to it? It's because you're fighting all of that and the strength of your own flesh. You need to say, Lord, fill me with your power of your Holy Spirit.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Did you know that epidemics are not always physical in nature? The most widespread epidemic that has taken over the world is not found in a lab. It's found in the disparity of the soul. Loneliness has swept the earth. People are overcome with despair more than ever before. Our heart longs for relationships, but many times we look for it in all the wrong places. There's really only one thing that can satisfy the soul, and that's having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and to meet with Him on a daily basis. Now, whether you're alone in your room or in a crowded coffee shop with your phone, your laptop, and latte, you really can find comfort and peace through God's Word and with Pastor Jack's devotions. New devotions written by Pastor Jack are uploaded on a weekly basis, but previous devotions are right there for you to check out at jackhibbs.com. Easy to find at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now with his series called 1 Corinthians, and it's a message called Why Christianity is Such a Problem. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of Corinth, and it's a study on how to stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You see, Christianity is a problem because it confronts our weaknesses and challenges our reality. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that Christianity is a problem for many because it's not about being wealthy, religious, or privileged. It's all about God's love for us and our need for salvation. Now with his message called Why Christianity is Such a Problem, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Colossians 1:18, I love this verse. Colossians 1:18 says, "And he, that's Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." That means he's the first one to be resurrected, never to die again. That's a bummer if you read the New Testament, you read the Gospels and the book of Acts. Anybody raised from the dead by any of the apostles? They lived to die again. That stinks. Jesus rose again from the grave, never to die again. And it goes on to say, Colossians 1:18, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And I want to ask you right now, does Jesus Christ have the preeminence in your life? In all things, he's to be king. He's to be number one. That's Christianity. Don't look at anything lesser than Christ. That's Christianity. Jesus is Christianity. And we are to follow him. I read this week in preparation, and I'll just quote, because you're going to get mad at me, so I'm just going to quote this guy. Ray Steadman said in his book, "What kind of a church would it be if everyone in your church was just like you?" I won't dwell any longer on that. That's too convicting. But is your life screwed up? Is your life one big screw up? Why is that the case? Do you know somebody whose life is just one blunder after the next, one bad decision after the next? And you stop and you ask them, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes, I'm a Christian." And then you back up and you ask them that question that Steadman asked. What kind of a church would it be if everybody was just like you? You see, the problem at Corinth is that the church had become just like itself instead of Christ. The Bible warns us in another place that when we judge ourselves among ourselves, that's not wise. But when we judge ourselves in the light of God, that is wise. John 3:5 says, Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit." I love that. Unless one is born into the world of man and the world of God, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the first birth you've had. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's the second birth if you've had it. Do not marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. born from heaven, born from above. It's a powerful thing. And so he says, I have begotten you through the gospel. The word through the gospel is dai, and it means to guide, to channel, to apply. I applied the Bible to you and you came to life, says Paul. It's a wonderful truth. Point number two, verses 16 to 19. Why Christianity is such a problem is that it creates. Because of what Christianity creates, it creates several things that makes it a problem in the world. And Paul is challenging a sleepy, carnal church. Number one is this, Christianity creates new life. Corinthians, Californians, are you new? Is there evidence of a new life? He says in verse 16, therefore I urge you. I love this church. Mark it down. Get your highlighter out. Get your pen ready. Therefore I urge you, strong language. I'm commanding you, begging you, pleading with you. I'm on my knee, commanding. That's a tender picture. He goes to his knee to command them. Imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere and in every church. Oh, this is awesome. You guys, mark it down. The word imitate is where we get the English word mimic. It's to mime. To walk in someone, it's a very cool word, watch. To walk in someone's shadow, to walk just like someone. The word implies, are you with me? If someone is goofing off or actually walking like he's got a limp, the little kid comes behind him and does the exact same thing. You ever seen the little kid do that? Have you ever seen a father go, you know what? And he's got this little thing about him. Maybe the father does this, the whatever it is. And have you, and the little kid's standing behind him. And the little boy will go. Have you seen the little girl walking down the hallway dressed in mommy's dress, talking like mommy, acting like mommy? Have you ever seen the little boy acting just like his dad? Crawls under the car, pretends he's changing the oil. What are you doing under there? I'm changing the oil, daddy. Mimic, mime. Paul says, do that in my life. This is awesome. And I want you to mark this because those of you who have any child, it doesn't have to be you don't have to be a parent today. Are you an aunt or an uncle? Are you a neighbor? And you have the influence of a child in your life? That kid watches you. And children grow up like their parents. That's both good and bad. It depends on your home. Paul is saying, put your eyes on, listen, Paul, this is radical. Paul is saying, put your eyes on me and do what I do. And I want to make mention of this for a second. A couple weeks ago, Lisa and I were at the swap meet, Orange County swap meet. Swap meet. Not swamp meat. And they had, she said, you need to get those. It's 24, two dozen Sharpie indelible markers. You know Sharpies? Different colors for $5. 24 of them for $5. That got my attention. So much so that she goes, grab those. Those are, you need those. I went over there and I said, $5, 24 for $5. I went and I'm looking, what could possibly be wrong? And then it just sounded too good to be true. And I looked and it didn't say Sharpie. It said Shopee. Same font. You know what they're doing? They're a knockoff. Like Rolex watches for $45. Rolex watch. Don't buy a Rolex. It'll last 24 hours. That hand makes it one time around and falls off. They're called knockoffs. And Paul is saying, imitate me because I'm not a knockoff. Paul is saying about those who are puffed up. He says they're fake. They're full of hot air. He says those are strong words. You bet they're strong words. Why does he say such a thing? Because he was serious about Jesus, church. Watch this. Later on in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, he says, imitate me just as I also imitate who? Christ. There you go. You say, isn't Paul arrogant for saying imitate me? No, 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 no. In fact, isn't it what a husband does to that brand new bride that he takes? And he says, listen, sweetie, I'm the head of you. Christ is the head of me. As I follow Jesus, you follow me. And when that man follows Christ, that you'll never hear that woman gripe or complain, because that man is devoted to Christ. And she will love it. Why? Because this man's answering to Christ, he will treat her like Christ treats the church, right? You say, I don't believe in that. Well, that's your problem. That's the model God created. And it works if the man will follow Christ. And here's the thing. Paul is saying Christianity works as long as the leaders in Christianity keep their eyes on Christ and are following Christ. Now, look, don't get me wrong. Christianity is not somehow fragmented or frail because of the church or its leaders. Christianity will endure. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail. Good leaders and bad leaders. Irregardless, his blood bought the church. Here's the difference, and it's for you to judge. Are you following Jesus? Husband, are you leading that home in Christ, Father? Dad, is this church being led by God? Am I on my face before the Lord? Paul is saying, follow my life. Listen, obviously he was an apostle and he was touring constantly. Paul didn't have a private life much at all. Can you imagine? He didn't have British Airways to fly around Europe on. He had a donkey or a camel. He was constantly on the go with a large group of people. And they knew him. And he said, I'm sending Timothy to you ahead of my coming. That's an awesome statement. Why? How could he say that? Because he had a new life. And that's a tremendous power, church. Also, verses 18 to 19, Christianity creates a changing life. A changing. That is in the continuum now. Constantly changing. Christianity creates a new life. But also Christianity creates a changing life. Have you grown since you've come to Christ? The day that you said yes to Jesus, has your life changed? Is your life changing? Isn't that the greatest passion? I don't know. I'm assuming it is. It is in my home with my family. Is Lord, I'm terrified of being the same Christian I am today next year. Doesn't that scare you, James? Doesn't that scare you guys? To be the same Christian that I am right now, this time next year, is terrifying to me. Why? Because the Bible says he's changing us from glory to glory. God is at work in your life. He's moving. You say, well, I'm not growing very much. You just indicted yourself. Out of your own mouth, you've said you're not praying much. You're not reading much. You're not open to God much. A changing life.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
He says, now some of you are puffed up, you guys, as though I were not coming. Oh, you're shooting your mouth off, hoping I don't show up. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. He's implying to the Corinthians, you guys forget easy. I'll be back, is what Paul is saying. Jesus said in Luke 22:19 regarding communion, he says, do this in remembrance of me. He says, we're supposed to have communion until he comes back. Did you know that? And Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Is that awesome? Do you have joy and peace? It's because your life's changing. It's growing. I'm not talking head knowledge. The Corinthians had head knowledge. They were Greeks. They had the brains, but they lacked the spirit. And then also this, obviously, it's the power. Christianity creates a power-filled life. Verse 19, and he says, I know that not the word... I will know, he says, excuse me, not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. The word puffed up. Watch this. This is great. He says, I don't care what they say. Oh, church, listen. Is somebody shooting their mouth off? Don't listen to what they say. If somebody, just tremendously gifted at the ability to hold a crowd or speak or sell Amway or Tony Robbins... you know what I'm saying? Be careful. Paul says, I tell you what, this is cool. I'm going to show up and I'm going to come into town And this is what I see in my mind. Well, so it's dangerous, okay? Little Paul, he's a little man. He's in a robe. He wears a robe. He's got his robe. They usually had a rope tied around their waist or a sash of some sort. He's got that there. Probably has a book of Isaiah on the right hip and Ezekiel on the left. And Paul comes into town with his spurs. All right, you big mouths, where are you? You guys shooting your mouth off about spiritual things, you bunch of airbags. He throws down the gauntlet and he says, we'll compare when I show up, power to power. Whoa, man, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm coming with power. Man, I don't know, man. When you see somebody been shooting their mouth off and then Paul shows up with his spurs and his book of Isaiah. You know what happens? I've seen this happen. People start, the person that yaps a lot just yaps more. And they yap themselves right into trouble. Paul says, you can yap all you want. I'm coming with power. Why? The Holy Spirit was operating in Paul's life. How cool is that? That woman that was caught by the Holy Spirit, a prostitute, and rescued from death. What? How'd that happen? The Holy Spirit. By the way, Jesus said, you'll never know them by the words, huh? Jesus said in Matthew 7:20, therefore by their fruits you will know them. He never said by their words. How do they live their lives? That's what matters. Don't get me wrong. What comes out of your mouth is powerful. Listen, powerful to condemn you or powerful to justify you? Oh, they're powerful, all right. Did you grow up with a parent telling you, you're a loser? You big idiot, you can't do nothing right. What's wrong with you? Because of that place of and position, we'll touch on it in a moment about authority, that words come out and it sinks right into a child's heart. I'm not even going to ask you for a show of hands. That's probably all of us. And there's power to that. Yes, words matter. And our current administration is in a free fall disaster because they promised so much and they're doing so little that the people that believe their promises are now turned on them and they're angry. Why? Because you overpromise and you can't fulfill. Words can be incredibly powerful and then hauntingly empty. And when a parent says, I love you no matter what, and I tell you, I don't think we have seen what the church can do if the church would just slow down and stop and listen to what God says when he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And if the church believed that, the church would get up and run to the ends of the earth with the gospel. Power. A power-filled life. The Greek amplified version of Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk, affected with wine, which is debauchery, but ever be over and over again filled and stimulated with the effects of the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. John 7:37, Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Are you thirsty? Jesus says, I'll give you a drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Acts 1:6 says, when the disciples had come together, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel, the kingdom of God? They were about 2,000 years too early. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Here's his answer. But you shall receive, what is that word? Power, dunamis. Dynamite power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Did that not happen? Are you a Christian today? How did it happen? Acts 1. Where did you meet Jesus? Well, the gospel came from the center point of the universe, Jerusalem. By the way, listen, the power of the Holy Spirit, I mean this, please listen. If you forget everything, don't forget this. Don't get out of bed without asking the Lord to fill you afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit every day. Amen. Are you struggling with temptation and sin? Are you tripping up and finding yourself failing on a constant basis? Like, man, I just keep failing. Listen, are you unable to resist sin? You feel so weak to it? It's because you're fighting all of that and the strength of your own flesh. You need to say, Lord, fill me with your power of your Holy Spirit. Now, somebody's going to tell you, there are denominations that will say, you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit's power for a dedicated life until you've emptied yourself of all evil and iniquity and sin. And I understand what they're saying, but it's led to people praying and fasting and coming to a point where they've confessed everything to God. And they're thinking, okay, well, gosh, I don't feel anything. I asked him to fill me. I don't have goosebumps. My hair's not standing up on end. I'm not speaking in tongues. I guess it didn't happen. I don't know, God, what's wrong with me? You know, nothing's wrong with you. Ask God to show you whatever sin might separate you from him. He'll show it to you, believe me, in about 5 seconds. Ask him to forgive you. Then listen. Then say, Lord, fill me now with the power of your Holy Spirit. And then get up and live your life and watch for the power. Watch what happens. Third point, I am not stopping no matter how late I am right now. Verses 20 to 21, number three, third point, we'll end with this. Because of what Christianity presents. Christianity presents the kingdom of God. Stop promoting your church. Stop promoting your pastor or wherever you come from or this place. Stop it. Time is running out. Promote the kingdom of God. Christianity is to represent the kingdom of God, not some thing. He says, for the kingdom of God. Mark 1:14, now after John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the kingdom of God. And he says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And here it is, repent and believe the gospel. That's the first step to experiencing the kingdom of God, repentance. Wow. Listen, you ought to write it down. If you're a visitor, remember these words, because you can go to 1,000 churches today and you will never hear this word again. It's not cool. It doesn't make people happy. Guess what? There ain't no salvation or heaven without it. It's the first word of the gospel. The first word of the gospel that came out of Peter, came out of John, came out of Mark, Matthew, Luke. The first word of the gospel that came out of John the Baptist's mouth, the first word of the gospel out of Jesus' mouth is repent and believe and you shall be saved. Metanoia in Greek. It means your ship is going on in one direction. Whatever that direction it is, turn your ship. Just turn the wheel around. And the moment you turn the wheel around, that means 180 degree turn. The moment you turn around, it's a decision you make. Christ fills your sails. The Spirit fills your sails and leads you on in a 180 degree opposite life. That's the power of the kingdom of God. It's not by wealth. It's not by being religious. It's not by privilege. Actually, it's by being hungry, isn't it? Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's why the cults cannot comfort a troubled soul.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio with his message called Why Christianity is Such a Problem. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians, a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
Hey, everybody, have you gotten dry mouth and kind of terrified when you knew you were supposed to share the Lord with somebody, but you chickened out? All of us know that feeling. And it comes from insecurity because we don't know how to say what we know, what we believe.
and yet the burden is upon us to tell someone. Well, listen, you guys, my friend Barry McGuire has written the book Ignite Your Life, and it is a book that is a must read to help you learn how to share Jesus Christ with everybody in any situation. You're going to be surprised as to how easy it is to move someone just a little bit closer to Jesus Christ. Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire. Get a copy for yourself.
Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire is our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com and get your copy of Ignite Your Life today. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.